We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in, everybody, to Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Flying solo today, Chris Biederman, my co-host, out on assignment. So I'm going to be running through a couple of interesting news items from the 49ers. Today, they lost some draft capital. They made a couple of interesting free agent additions. We will talk about all of that. But before we do that, let me shout out the homies over at Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com is the website. They are the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles, even in the off season. That's right, baby. Shout out to Lamb Chops. We love them. We love them during hoodie season, obviously. Chris and I, we talk about it. Some of our favorite clothing is our hoodies from Lamb Chops. You should go get some today. They've also got shorts. They've got sweatshorts. They've got the jersey style shorts. They are always high quality. They're always comfortable. And if you're looking for something a little more understated, you can get some plain black sweatshorts, or maybe you want something a little louder. I got shorts with lions on them, orcas. Shout out to the killer whale. They got sweatpants, which my dad claims are the best sweatpants he has ever owned. He has become a Lamb Chops convert, and I think you probably will too. So go to sglambchops.com today. Use promo code Candlestick20 and get 20% off your order. Maybe you're wrapping up hoodie season and you want to get ready for next hoodie season. Maybe you're a hoodie year-round person. I know people like that. Or maybe you want to gear up for next winter too. Check it out. sglambchops.com. And for a look at all their latest styles, you can also follow them on Instagram at sglambchops. Join the herd today. I also want to shout out Prize Picks. We love Prize Picks. It has enhanced my sports viewing experience dramatically doing daily fantasy with Prize Picks. It's super easy. 2 to 6 players. You pick more or less on their stat projections. You watch a winnings pileup. That's it. That's all you got to do. It is so much fun. And it's not just football, man. I know we talk about it a lot during football season. We build our entries, this and that. But no, man, we're in action. We got college basketball coming up. NBA's in full swing. It is the playoff stretch in the NBA. You know you're going to get some exciting games. Make it a little more exciting with Prize Picks. Build that entry and pick more or less on those stat projections. And you watch, I mean, there's nothing better than when you have just Steph Curry more than 27.5 points, and he's at 26, and he buries a three, gives the Dubs a late lead, gives you the dub with your daily fantasy entry with Prize Picks. It is it's exhilarating. So join us at prizepicks.com/candlestick, promo code Candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That is prizepicks.com/candlestick. And use the promo code Candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. All right, let's talk about some weird 49er stuff that just happened.
Blue Wire. Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
So there I was, enjoying my day, just cruising along, writing some stuff, looking over some of the 49ers announced some free agent signings, which we'll get to here shortly. They officially announced some, And all of a sudden, news comes down. Eric Branch of the San Francisco Chronicle was the first person I saw tweet about this, so I will credit him, even though it was an announcement that went out. The 49ers, it was announced, will be penalized in this year's draft and in next year's draft for an accounting error in 2022. Basically, there was an audit of the 49ers' numbers, and it didn't add up as far as player compensation goes. The league ruled that this was, A, done unintentionally. It was just a literal accounting mistake, which I imagine can probably happen pretty easily when you're talking numbers this large and complicated. And B, they ruled that the 49ers would have been under the cap regardless of the error. So the penalty comes from you can't be incentivizing teams to make errors. If you turn in the wrong numbers, like you're gonna get dinged a little bit. So what happens is next year the 49ers lose their own fifth round pick. So that pick is gone, their own fifth. They can obviously get compensatory selections and still pick in the fifth round, as we know that's their money round. But next year's fifth will be vacated. This year they had the 131st pick in the draft. That now falls to 135. And then their 133rd pick will bump up to 132, if that makes sense. So that is their penalty for their little accounting error. Not a huge deal, kind of an odd thing for sure, but if their Super Bowl chances over the next couple of years are going to be made or broken by these draft penalties, then they have way larger problems than what's going on in their accounting department. So ideally this wouldn't happen again. I'm sure there's added penalties if there's more than that, but I'm guessing that we're going to see some more stringent, we won't, this is all stuff from behind the scenes, but I imagine the 49ers will be a little bit more diligent about, you know, double and triple and quadruple checking their numbers, because like I said, at some point this does start to matter a little bit. But for this year, It shouldn't be anything too awful. We can rack this. We can re-rack this if we're sitting here in 2026 and whoever, I think it's the Chiefs, get to bump up a spot. If they wind up picking the next great superstar in that spot that the Niners would have taken, then we can revisit this. But for now, just kind of a quirky thing that that happened on Monday. So that's where that's at. Don't really have a ton else on it. I wish I did. The 49ers also announced a handful of free agent signings. Leonard Floyd is officially in the building on his 2-year deal. Chase Lucas, the cornerback. Lucas is kind of an interesting addition for the 49ers because he doesn't really play defense. I think he's played 6 defensive snaps in 2 years with the Lions. He is a special teams only guy. He is also not a return man, though, and they still need a returner. He's returned 1 kick in his career as a college and NFL football player, and it was his freshman year in college. He returned it for 3 yards, and that is the extent of what he does there. So he won't be contributing there. My guess is he may not even make the team. This is one of those this isn't some kind of major deal where the 49ers are solving all their problems in the secondary. Like I said, he's barely played on defense. He can definitely make the club, though, as a core special teams guy. It is one of those, it appears to be one of those off seasons where the 49ers are focusing heavily on special teams. They added Chase Lucas, a core special teamer for the Lions the last couple of years. They added Ezekiel Turner, a linebacker from Arizona, who has been a stalwart on special teams for them for a few seasons now. So it looks like the 49ers are trying to load up where kick coverage is not as big of a problem as it was at times last year, and frankly has been at times throughout Kyle Shanahan's tenure. So maybe they're beefing that group up. Devondre Campbell officially signed his 1-year deal. Brandon Parker, a former tackle for the Raiders, also signed a deal. He's who I want to talk about. Isaac Yiadom from the Saints, coming off his best year. He's a cornerback. He is an interesting signing. Coming off his best season as a pro, he's been pretty disappointing. He's a draft pick out of Boston College by Denver. He spent a couple of years in Denver, had it really up and down, could not find a consistent starting role, but last year had a very, very fine year for the New Orleans Saints. He plays primarily outside, which fits with what the 49ers are looking for. He also contributes on special teams. So he'll be a player to watch as a potential starting corner, and if not, a good depth piece who can also contribute on special teams. And then the John Feliciano one-year deal was also officially announced. I think we talked about that on this pod. Chris and I did that bringing back Feliciano would make a ton of sense. So let's talk Brandon Parker real quick. This is an interesting move, I think, by the 49ers, and I think it gives a little bit of insight into what they're looking for along the offensive line this offseason. So Parker's been in the NFL for 5 years with the Raiders, Oakland, and Las Vegas. He was there through the move. He has started 33 games as a pro, 30 of them at right tackle, and 3 of them at left tackle. He's played 59 total games. He's been pretty up and down as an offensive lineman. This seems like the type of signing where the 49ers bring him in, and maybe he's like Matt Pryor. I don't know if you remember Matt Pryor. Granted, Pryor had more versatility than Parker does. Parker can play both tackle positions, but whereas Pryor could play on the interior as well. But with 30 starts at right tackle, he is more experienced than Colton McKivitz, who got that one-year extension worth up to $7 million. And that feels like the 49ers might be looking at moving McKivitz to guard, which is what they were hoping to do when they originally drafted him in the fourth round in 2020. So I'm not sitting here thinking the 49ers signed Parker, anticipating that he'll be their starting right tackle. However, I think he's going to compete there. And unless the 49ers like trade up for a starting right tackle in the draft, I think that this is kind of what you're going to see, where they have Feliciano, they have Spencer Burford, they have Colton McKivitz, several players who can play right guard. They can duke it out for that starting job. And then McKivitz will also play right tackle. You have Brandon Parker who can play right tackle. And then maybe it's a draft pick, whether it's first, second round, third round, or otherwise, maybe multiple. Who knows? But it's just a position where the 49ers have to figure it out. And I actually, while you would prefer it, you know, the ideal would be finding a free agent who has a track record in the NFL of playing good football and going and signing them to a big deal. The 49ers don't have the means to do that. They are paying so much money to Nick Bosa and Fred Warner and George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel. Like, the list goes on, right? They are heavy, heavy, heavy at the top of the market at several positions. So that to me says, okay, they can't go pay a right tackle, and they don't want to go draft one and just throw them to the wolves, where if that draft pick doesn't work out, they're screwed. So like I said, my plan is to talk about the draft a little bit later in the week, so I'll put a pin in that. But I think they'll probably draft a tackle relatively early, and then that player will be added to the mix with McKivitz, with Parker, and with whoever else the 49ers have or bring in who they think could conceivably play right tackle. Because they need to shore up those spots, but they have to do so in a way that's not going to cost them an arm and a leg. And this is the way you do it. You find a tackle like Parker who has 30 starts. You have Colton McKivitz, who wasn't terrible last year. I don't want this to be a Colton McKivitz is the reason for all bad 49ers things. That's not the point. And maybe he sees growth this offseason and the 49ers have a super cheap right tackle, right? Like that's definitely on the table. He had spent so much time as a pro playing left tackle and trying to move to guard, and right tackle is his natural spot, but this is his first time playing it at the NFL level, and he was kind of handed the job. So this year, it looks like there's going to be a little bit more competition. It's not going to be super expensive. And at least this way, you're throwing several darts at a couple of key positions where they need upgrades at right guard and right tackle. Or I shouldn't say need. They could certainly use upgrades at guard and right tackle. And they're giving themselves options. And I thought the Parker addition was some good insight into what the 49ers want to do along the offensive line. Because I don't think they signed Parker to be a camp body kind of guy. I don't think they signed him just in the hopes that he could be a swing tackle. Like, they need starters. And he has started 30 games in the NFL. He started almost two full seasons worth of games in the NFL at right tackle. So I like the idea. And I think that's of all the signings that were made official today, that's the one that I'm watching closely. You know, Leonard Floyd, we know he can play. Devondre Campbell, we know he can play. I think Devondre Campbell is going to be a really, really good player next to Fred Warner as the Will linebacker until, you know, fingers crossed, Dre Greenlaw comes back at some point this year. But even if he does not, which would be kind of miraculous, like he tore his Achilles in the Super Bowl, it would be pretty nuts if he was able to come back at any point next year. But if he does, then you have you can either ease him back in as the Sam linebacker where he's only on the field in base packages, or if he's good to go and he heals miraculously, you have a really overqualified Sam linebacker in Devondre Campbell. So I like the additions the 49ers have made. This goes along with what Chris and I talked about on the last podcast. It's been fine. It's been a good free agency. They've filled out some depth. They probably weren't going to make a major splash or find, you know, a big time starter or anything like that. They're just kind of cruising along, filling out depth at spots where they didn't really have it. And at some point here soon, we'll turn our eyes to the draft because I now think the 49ers can attack the draft a little bit differently based on the moves they've made in free agency. But again, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the week. Please subscribe if you have not already done so. The other signing that was not made official today, but was first reported, Josh Dobbs, the quarterback, the pastor, not himself, signed a one-year deal with the 49ers, according to Adam Schefter. Josh Dobbs' agent, Mike McCartney, not Mike McCarthy, Mike McCartney, first announced the deal on Twitter. Schefter came through with the numbers, 1 year, $2.25 million, $2.25 million, fully guaranteed for Joshua Dobbs. He also has up to $750,000 in playing time incentives. Fascinating. Super interesting signing. Because when the 49ers brought back Brandon Allen, I kind of saw that as not necessarily punting on the quarterback position, at least the backup quarterback position, but I definitely thought it was a little strange that he was the veteran quarterback they brought back. You know, I'm looking, I'm going, okay, maybe they go get Nate Sudfeld or something. I don't know. It's just not an inspiring group. You know, Jacoby Brissett was going to make too much money. Darnold is going to make too much money. Jameis Winston was probably going to make too much. Like, this is just kind of so it's going to be Brandon Allen and maybe a rookie was how I was looking at it. But no, the 49ers bring in Josh Dobbs, and I know that contract, the two and a quarter fully guaranteed with up to $750,000 in playing time incentives, I think that says that San Francisco believes that Dobbs can be their backup quarterback. But, and I'll talk about that in a second, but we have to remember when throwing around like, oh, they gave him this much guaranteed, he's obviously going to be the backup. Don't forget, the year Brock Purdy, the Mr. Irrelevant, FYI, don't know if you knew that. Brock Purdy got picked last in the draft. I don't think anyone's ever really talked about that. No. That year, the 49ers gave Nate Sudfeld $2 million fully guaranteed. And I, along with others, kind of assumed, oh, wow, they really like Nate Sudfeld. He's going to be the backup quarterback. Well, then Jimmy Garoppolo stuck around. This is in 2022. Jimmy Garoppolo sticks around. Go. Oh. Well, okay, Nate Sudfeld, QB3, sneak Brock Purdy out of the practice squad. No. Nate Sudfeld, gone, jettisoned. Can't even stick around as QB3. Got beat out by Mr. Irrelevant. That's Brock Purdy. and wound up landing with the Lions. That $2.25 million for Josh Dobbs doesn't move me in terms of me crowning Dobbs the 49ers QB2. Now, let's move this conversation. I believe Josh Dobbs will be QB2. I think right now, barring the 49ers drafting a quarterback who pulls a Brock Purdy and outplays everybody and just lights training camp on fire, so to speak, I think Josh Dobbs is going to be QB2. Not because of the fully guaranteed money, but because I just think he's now the second best quarterback on the roster. All due respect to Brandon Allen. He has 9 starts under his belt, none of them overly impressive. But he is what I think is a really high quality number 2 or number 3 quarterback. And I think that's why the 49ers wanted to bring him back. I think they see a lot of value with him. And I don't know what percentage of it, but I think there's probably at least a small percentage of his presence that helped out Brock Purdy last year. So you bring him back. That's a really good veteran to have. But I didn't feel great about him as the 49ers QB2 because I'm not sure how high a quality of quarterback he is. Now, it was 1 year ago that we were talking about the importance of the backup quarterback position. And we had done so effectively every year since Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL, right? Every year after 2018, it was all about like, okay, well, you got to have the backup in case Jimmy gets hurt. And then Garoppolo, the 2018 season got derailed by his injury. 2019, okay, he got to the Super Bowl. But then 2020, derailed by quarterback injury. 2021, derailed in part by quarterback injury. 2022, we saw how that ended in, well, I mean, you saw three starting quarterbacks go down and then a fourth in the NFC Championship game. Hey, it's Kyle and Chris from Candlestick Chronicles, and we're here to talk to you about Prize Picks. We love Prize Picks. I don't think, Chris, I don't think anything has ever enhanced my sports watching experience more than Daily Fantasy. I've had such a blast with it.
Even more so than having a podcast.
Yeah, way more than having a podcast. Like, okay. This is work. Prize Picks is the very best thing, and I know we talked about it all during football season, but y'all, it's not just a football. It's not just a football app. It's not just a football site. Prize Picks has, I mean, anything that you can think of, you can build a daily fantasy sports entry in it. 2 to 6 players, regardless of the sport. You pick more or less on their stat projections, and then you watch the winnings roll in. Or in our case, you watch the losses pile up. But we're ready to bounce back this basketball season and baseball season or tennis or whatever you are into. You can build your entry, again, 2 to 6 players, pick more or less on the stat projection, and it's my favorite thing. I had so much fun this year.
You don't have to be on an email chain with all of your friends.
It's a great point.
Hoping that they're going to be ready for the draft. You don't have to be scouring the waiver wire.
Nope.
When your best running back and receiver gets injured on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You don't have to argue with your friends about doing a snake draft or an auction draft.
You're just giving me anxiety thinking about all these things.
It's a week. It's, you know, you can be on there. You can pick, you can make your picks and you can get out. You know, you don't need to do hours and hours of research. Not that you can't. If you want to do all your research, totally. More power to you. But all of the dregs that come along with being in a normal fantasy operation, you don't have to worry about with Prize Picks. And that's what makes it fun.
And the thing that I love about Prize Picks specifically with daily fantasy is you're not playing against like sharp guys. You're not playing against thousands of other players. It is you and your entry. And that's it. And it's super easy to use. You go to prizepicks.com/candlestick. Use promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That's right. We're giving that to you. prizepicks.com/candlestick. First deposit promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Jump in there today. You're going to have a great time. And like I said, it's not just for football season. So get locked in. Whatever sport you want, PrizePicks has got it at prizepicks.com/candlestick. And make sure to download the app as well. Super easy to use, super fun, and we think that you will love it just as much as we do. Again, that's prizepicks.com/candlestick, promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That's PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So quarterback injuries are still, I think the scars from that are still very much at the forefront of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan's minds as they build out this roster. I don't think you can be comfortable. And Brock Purdy was fully healthy last year. The only game he missed was due to rest in week 18 against the Rams because the Niners had everything sewn up. They had a fully healthy starting quarterback last year. That does not mean that they were ready to go into this season with Brandon Allen as QB2 and a rookie, probably a later round pick too, probably a day three pick, is your emergency third quarterback. I don't think the 49ers are ready to do that. And I understandably so. So you bring in Josh Dobbs. Now maybe Brandon Allen beats him out. Maybe if they draft somebody or they sign an undrafted free agent, maybe they beat out Dobbs and/or Allen. And Allen's the QB2 or this rookie's the QB2 and Joshua Dobbs doesn't make the team. Like that scenario is on the table for sure. But I think we saw enough from Dobbs last year. He made 12 starts between his time with Arizona and Minnesota. And that Minnesota run at the beginning was Cinderella stuff, right? He was on his third team that season. Remember, the Cardinals got him late in the offseason. Very, very late. And he went out and started week one for them. And he played really, really well for the first five or so weeks. They were 1-4, but he had, through those first 5 weeks, he had six touchdowns, just two interceptions. He's moving around, running a little bit, showing off his legs, showing off a strong arm. Like he's just inexperienced. Like, he didn't have a ton of starts. And then he gets let go by the Cardinals and goes to Minnesota, and then famously in that first start against Atlanta, his first game against Atlanta in week 9, he goes 20 of 30 for 158 yards and two touchdowns. I remember, didn't even know his teammates' names. He had Kevin O'Connell, the head coach for the Vikings, telling him in his headset where to look, where to be throwing, because he didn't know the playbook, didn't know the players, had never taken a snap behind that offensive line, didn't know guys' names. It's crazy. And he went out and won them that game. And then he goes and he beats New Orleans the next week, goes 23 of 34 for 268 and a touchdown, passer rating over 101 in each of his first two starts for Minnesota. And then things kind of went downhill from there. He had his four interception game against Chicago in a 12-10 loss. He was abysmal in a 3-0 win over the Raiders. Shout out to my folks. Shout out to my in-laws. They were in the building for that game in Las Vegas. 3-0 was the final score there, with a field goal coming in the final 2 minutes. Dobbs in that game, 10 of 23. That's just 43.5% on that completion rate. 63 yards, a 50.8 passer rating. He was sacked 5 times. Just a bad game. Not a good game for him. So as turnovers kind of became a problem, he started losing games with Minnesota, and the turnovers kind of became a problem with Arizona. He goes 4-9 last year. He went, I'm looking at the wrong numbers. Hang on. This is the problem with not having a second person, because I can't have Chris vamp for me while I go and get the correct numbers up. But Josh Dobbs last year went 3-9 as a starting quarterback. But here's the deal. He completed 63% of his throws. 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He finished the year with a passer rating of 79.5. He was not great by any means. But he's only made 14 NFL starts. And I think he showed enough, at least for me, with A, what he did just with the Vikings just by itself, and not knowing the playbook, not knowing anything, and figuring out a way to win a game. That's really impressive. He has plenty of arm strength. I think sometimes he trusts his arm strength a little too much, but he has good mobility. I think he's obviously extremely smart. I think this is a really, really good addition for the 49ers. And it's the type of addition where, yeah, he is a quarterback who can move a little bit, but I think he's like Brock Purdy in that way where, okay, Purdy can move, but I wouldn't call him a running quarterback. And the same thing, I wouldn't call Josh Dobbs necessarily a running quarterback. Let's go down to his... he's rushed 91 times for 496 yards in his career. He did have 6 rushing touchdowns last season, 421 yards on the ground, averaged at 32.4 rushing yards a game. Like that's not a bad number, but it's also not a necessity. Like, the Niners don't have to rebuild their offense around Joshua Dobbs if he's going to be their QB, too. I think he could slide in pretty seamlessly if Brock Purdy is unavailable. And I think that you're probably more confident with Joshua Dobbs going out and winning games. And this is, again, this is without an offseason, without training camp, and without these guys battling it out on the field, which I think they'll do. But I think right now you'd be more confident with the ceiling of Joshua Dobbs and having him go out and win games. I think you'd be more confident with that than you would with Brandon Allen at this point. And I think that's why the Niners went to go get him. There'll be a competition, but Allen, I think they know what they're going to get. They know what the baseline is. They would prefer that be QB3, that emergency QB, where if they're going to him, it's okay. He can still go win a game, but you don't love it. Whereas Dobbs, I think if they get him in the building and in with this offense for an entire offseason, I think that you could get some pretty good quarterback play out of Joshua Dobbs. And I do think he's going to win that QB2 job. So, good addition for the 49ers. I think it's fun. And I do still think they draft a quarterback, but I think it'll be late with the goal of getting him to the practice squad again, unless he pulls a Brock Purdy and outperforms everybody. Oh, let's real quick, before we go. Let's talk about the Justin Fields trade real quick. So Justin Fields was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a sixth round pick that could become a fourth round pick. Mac Jones from the Patriots was traded to the Jags for a sixth round pick. If you'll remember, and hang with me here, because I know there's immediate pushback and there's people yelling and there's arguments and this and that. Hang with me here while I talk about this. So Mac Jones got traded from the Patriots, and again, you'll remember Mac Jones, 15th overall, 2021 draft, same year as Trey Lance. He was the player that everybody thought the 49ers had traded up for. People in the 49ers building actually thought they had traded up for Mac Jones. Justin Fields went 11th. They both went after Trey Lance, who went number 3 overall. Justin Fields, in his career, started 40 games. Check that. Yeah, Justin Fields started 38 games in his career, played 40. Went 10-28 in those games, completed 60% of his throws, 40 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, and he ran all over everybody all the time. He finished top 10 in MVP voting in 2022, despite the fact his team went 3-12. That's pretty impressive, but a large part of that was because of what he did on the ground. That 2022 season, he was 1,100 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns. Last year, 657 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns. That was just in 13 games. There's so much upside there with Justin Fields, and I think that's why you saw the Steelers try and go get him. Mac Jones, okay? He started all 42 games he played, a 66% completion rate, 46 touchdowns, 36 picks, an 85.8 passer rating, and not a lot of rushing from old McCorkle Jones. So I say all that to say the Bears and Patriots got less for their 2021 quarterbacks who had started, let's see, Fields was 38 games, Mac Jones was 42 games. They both got less for their 2021 quarterbacks than the 49ers did for Trey Lance last offseason. Remember, the 49ers got a fourth round pick from the Dallas Cowboys. So here's what this says to me. The 49ers did the right thing moving Trey Lance last offseason. And I was really against it at the time. I thought they were making a mistake. I thought that Mac Jones and Brock Purdy. I thought that Brock Purdy should be the starter. He had earned that with his performance in 2022, and that once he was healthy, he should be the starter, and that's how it should go. Unless, you know, Lance or Sam Darnold came out in training camp and really just blew everybody's socks off. That didn't happen. With Lance, you saw, okay, there was some growth for sure, but it probably was not happening at the rate the 49ers would have wanted it to happen. So let's say they keep him around, which is what I thought they should do. All right, he's not going to start, but hey, make him the backup. Make him QB2. Had they done that, they are looking at maybe one start, assuming he starts that week 18 game for the 49ers. looking at one start. You're looking at garbage time against the Cowboys. You're looking at garbage time against did Sam Darnold get in against the Eagles? He definitely got in against the Ravens. You're looking at a little bit of garbage time play for Trey Lance and maybe a start. And then you're probably trying to trade him this offseason. Like that's probably how that would have gone. And given the development rate that we were seeing from Lance, I don't think that we were going to see something major that was going to get the 49ers more than what Jones or Fields got. And maybe they would have because the allure of Lance still to this day, 3 years after he got drafted, is still that the unknown, because the upside should be so high, right? He's big and he's fast and he's strong. He's got cannon for an arm. He's a great dude. He's got everything you'd want. But I don't think the development to either get him where he needed to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, I don't think that would have happened with the 49ers this year. The opportunities just weren't there, and that was a whole problem. And I think the Niners did the right thing. The Cowboys called and offered that fourth-round pick, and you pull the trigger and you take it. Lance was QB3 for Dallas all year. He suited up and was inactive on game days. And he only would have gotten active if the two quarterbacks in front of him had gotten hurt. And now he's going into this offseason with a chance to be Dak Prescott's backup. It's not even a guarantee. So maybe things go differently if the Niners had kept him, but I think from a pure just team-building standpoint, thoughts and feelings about Trey Lance aside, thoughts and feelings about that pick and what you do if you trade up for that much and should he have started, should he have not, it's an entirely different conversation for an entirely different day, and we can have that conversation when there's somebody else here to discuss it with me. I'm not going to do it by myself and argue all the sides because I'm sure I'll miss something. But knowing what we know now, and living in reality of what this season would have looked like for Lance, for the 49ers only, for the 49ers organization only, from that standpoint, I think moving Lance last offseason was the right move. And it is just a fascinating insight into NFL team building that a team was willing to give up less to get Justin Fields after 3 years of starts, after 38 starts. Even though with Fields, there's definitely still some like, oh, hey, there's some upside there. Like, I think if you're going to bank on a quarterback, banking on Justin Fields is probably a good move to make, especially as cheap as the Steelers got him. So I think it's a fascinating look at how NFL teams view prospects that the Cowboys went, yeah, hey, Trey Lance, who's made four starts, whatever it was. He's played in eight games. He played in eight games total. That includes that like Lions game, his rookie year where he threw one pass. that's what we're talking about. He played in eight games, man. And a team was like, yeah. Now, granted, it's Cowboys, it's Jerry Jones. Maybe they're a little weird, but they went, yep, hey, here's a fourth round pick. Yeah, Mac Jones is a Pro Bowler, bro. Mac Jones made a Pro Bowl his rookie year. Justin Fields was a top 10 MVP vote getter in his second year. Ran for 1,100 yards in an NFL season. Justin Fields did. And the Steelers gave up a sixth-round pick that might be a fourth-round pick to get him. That is crazy to me. But that aside, I mean, good on the Niners for recognizing it. I thought it was the wrong move at the time, and in retrospect, I think dealing Lance for a fourth-round pick was the right, ultimately the right move. And again, not to say that, oh yeah, they should do it again, because trading three first-round picks and eventually netting a fourth-round pick, that's good business. It's not. Hey, it's a failure. They swung and missed. But it's, you know, they've been to NFC Championship games. They've been to a Super Bowl. They went to overtime of a Super Bowl. And they survived that. Just speaking purely from the compensation that every team has gotten that has traded their 2021 quarterback draft pick. It is fascinating to me that the 49ers got the most for theirs, even though he had played by far the least. And good on the 49ers for recognizing that. And good on them for recognizing that that was probably going to be the best opportunity they got to get any kind of substantial early day three pick for their quarterback who wasn't going to play. So that's where that lands. All right. That's it for me. Thank you for listening to me ramble. Really appreciate it. Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/@CandlestickChroniclesPodcast, or you just search Candlestick Chronicles on YouTube. Please subscribe to the channel. We're planning on doing some more video stuff as we get closer to the season. So we'd really appreciate it if everybody would check that out. That would be awesome. And if you're an audio only person, you're not getting into the video thing, totally fine. We are available wherever you get your podcasts, and we will continue to be available wherever you get your podcasts, even as we dabble more into the video side. So please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your pods. I know Chris and I would appreciate it greatly. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you a little bit later on this week. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.